Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews is bringing to light the Lord Jesus Christ to the Hebrews, reminding them, revealing to them, showing them and us, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Christ is the fulfillment of all prophecies. He is the high priest of his people. He's king. He's seated. He's the successful redeemer. He's the complete fulfillment of every type and shadow and picture of the Old Testament. Now, I've titled this message, The Believer's Profession. And the reason for that is found in the words in the first two verses, which is our text. Believer's Profession. Let's read that. Hebrews 1, verse 1. I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Let's read that again. Wherefore, now that's in light of everything that he's already proclaimed about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he by himself has purged our sin, how that he was the fullness, the brightness of the glory of God, that he, by the word of his power, everything that he accomplished for his people, he's saying, wherefore, because of all that, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. First of all, who is the writer of Hebrews writing to? Who is his, audience? Who's his intended readers? Brethren. But not just any brethren. Not according to the flesh, because he calls them holy brethren. See, being a Jew is not going to do you any more good than being a Gentile is in the things pertaining to God. He says, holy brethren. Partakers of the heavenly calling. There's the common denominator. The partakers of the heavenly calling. Those are the brethren that he's speaking to. He says to them, consider Christ Jesus, who is described as the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now the apostle, that's the messenger, isn't it? What does an apostle do? He speaks what he knows, what he's seen, the message. He speaks as the ambassador of the Lord, the representative. But he's not just a representative. He is the Lord. And he's also the message. What is the message? Calls him the high priest. That is the chief priest, the one that could enter into the veil and put the blood upon the mercy seat. The one, the only one by right who had God's approval, God's permission, God's blessing to enter into the veil to put the blood upon it for the atonement of sin. That's the high priest. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He entered that within the veil to say his flesh, when his flesh was rent in twain from top to bottom, and he by his own blood entered into that veil, placing it upon the mercy seat. He's the one who offered his own blood and makes intercession for his people. Now what the writer's saying here is consider the message and the messenger of God. It's one and the same. And consider your profession. Your profession. This is the Lord pointing out that Christ is the one. He is the Lamb whereby his people are received of the Lord. He's the only one that we can be in and the Lord receive us. He's the one that only way that we can please the Lord, only way that we can be accepted in the beloved, only way that we can be partakers of this heavenly calling, the only one whereby we have been made the righteousness of God in, is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the believer's profession? He is. He is the believer's profession. What is your profession? What is my profession? Now, profession as a noun is stated, what's your occupation? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your confession. In religious terms, profession also could simply just be your confession. But a profession isn't something that you just came up with on your own. It's the gift of grace in the heart to profess the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess him as all your righteousness before God, to believe him in the heart by faith. That's the gift of God unto eternal life. It's not something we can determine in and of ourselves or come up with or figure out or come to a knowledge of. This is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the heavenly calling here. Didn't come from the earth, did it? Didn't come from the will of man. Didn't come from the will of blood, nor the will of flesh, but of God. That's what he says in John chapter 1, isn't it? That's the heavenly calling of the Lord to his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, and so many people get caught up in justification, being justified. How are you justified before God? Well, some people say you have to have this, or you have to do that, or you have to do this. I'm going to make it as simple as I can. Christ Jesus is our justification before God. That's as simple as I can put it. He is his people's justification. You've been justified by his blood. Therefore, he was raised again because of our justification. That word for in that verse is, that could be because just as well. And it's because, isn't it? He would not have been resurrected if we hadn't have been justified, if God had not been pleased. But he was resurrected. Therefore, his people were justified because of what he did on the cross. This is our profession. And the Lord reveals, when he gives this heavenly calling that he's talking about here, it's not a heavenly calling to do. It's the heavenly calling unto eternal life that says it is finished. That's the heavenly calling. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a recommendation. It's a command. It's the gift of God into eternal life. And that calling, brethren, that calling reveals that Christ is not just a topic of the Bible. He's not just a good man. There's a lot of people today that are talking about he is risen. Well, he is. He is. But what was he risen for? What was the purpose of his resurrection? Was it to make a way that you can now choose to have eternal life if you do good or you live a certain way or you make a certain choice? Why was he risen? And there's the message that's missing. Men have an emotional stirring about the resurrection and not know the meaning. He was raised because he was successful on the cross of Calvary. He was successful in redemption. He's not just a topic of the scripture. He's the sum and substance of every single verse, every single letter, every single word from Genesis to Revelation. As a matter of fact, he's the sum and substance of all things, isn't he? All things are by him, for him and for his glory. He's all wisdom. He's all righteousness. He's all sanctification. And he's all redemption. Now the Lord Jesus Christ here is being pointed out to the previously religious Hebrews. And you and I may not have been in Judaism, and you and I may not have been Hebrews, but we certainly were previously religious. Somebody said, well, I really wasn't religious. I was irreligious. Everybody believes in something. Even the atheist's righteousness is that they are atheists. That's their righteousness. They believe they're God. It's that simple. That's the lie from the beginning. The lie doesn't change. It just takes different forms, takes different shapes. Either our profession, Christ Jesus is all. He is God. He is Lord. He is Savior. And I have no hope in and of myself for salvation unless he accomplished it. If that's not my profession, I don't know him. But if my profession is, he is all. He is Lord. He is Savior. He's prophet, priest, and king, as he's mentioning here. I have a good hope. I have a good profession because he's the one that has to put that in my heart. He has to take out the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh that believes him alone. Scripture's clear. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, according to his will. And the Lord's being pointed out here to previously religious Hebrews that he's the fulfillment of all these prophecies. He is the promise kept. He's not the evidence of promise. He is the sum and substance of all promises of God. They're all found in him. When the Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, how can that be? Because of Christ Jesus and the finished work on the cross. When the Lord says, I loved you with an everlasting love, how can that be? Because of the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's nothing in us. It's all about him and what he accomplished. He alone is the Redeemer. He is the chosen Messiah of God. He's the one that was ordained before the foundation of the world to taste death for his people so that you and I would never have to face death alone. We would never have to face death at all, not spiritual death. He conquered death. Only those chosen of God to be redeemed are enabled to confess Him. There is a lot of men and women that confess a lot of things. A lot of people say that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the confession that comes from the mouth is not the same that comes from the heart. You remember what the Lord said? Your lips. He said, your lips confess, your lips praise, but your heart is far from me. Far from me. The Lord looks at the heart. The believer hears that, causes us to cry out, doesn't it? Lord, give me the confession from the heart then. Whatever it is that I must have, you're going to have to provide it. Give it to me. Cause me to be the recipient of your grace, please. And that we come begging for that, don't we? Only those enabled to confess Him, confess Him. Nebuchadnezzar, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Well, let's turn to Daniel, chapter 2. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar. He's a good example of this. Only those chosen of God to be redeemed, only those chosen of God for Christ to be revealed, confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Daniel, chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has dreamed dreams, the scripture says, and they troubled him. And he was perplexed, he was distressed, to the point he couldn't sleep. And he calls for all the magicians, and all the astrologers, and all the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. Anyone that knew anything about fortune telling, anybody that had superstitions, anybody that could do magic tricks, he called for everybody. He was distraught. He was distraught. And says unto them these words, I can't remember the dream. But I want you to tell me the dream and the interpretation of it. I can't remember the dream, but now think about that. Well, what do you think the Chaldeans and the magicians and the astrologers and astronomers and all, what did they say to him? There's not a man alive that can do this thing. There's not a man alive that can do it. I love that the Lord makes people confess the truth. It's of the Lord if this is going to be done, is what they said, but they didn't know who God was, didn't they? They didn't know. There's not a man alive that can do it. Now get what he says to them. If you can't tell me, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. If you can tell me, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. And they say, there's not a man alive. Nobody can do this. It's not possible. And what does the king do? And you got to appreciate, and because we're the same. I'm just going to say that first and foremost. We're no different than Nebuchadnezzar. He throws a temper tantrum. He gets mad at them. And he says, kill them all. Kill them all. Well, they're no good to me if they can't interpret my dream and tell me what it is. They're useless. Get rid of them. Kill them. That's what he says to them. Kill all the wise men. Throws a temper tantrum. Daniel's one of those wise men at this time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are those wise men at this time. So they fell under that umbrella of death, a death sentence. And Daniel hears, and he intercedes for his brethren and for himself. And he says, King, if you'll give me time, the Lord will give you the answer. And the king said, okay, I'll give you time. I'll give you time. And God revealed the dream and the interpretation thereof, the scripture says. Now look at what Daniel's profession is after the dream had been revealed unto Daniel. In chapter 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. That's a good profession. That's a believer's profession. He's speaking about who God is, what God has done. What glory did Daniel get? He said, I received of the Lord understanding. I received of the Lord wisdom. He didn't say, I came to knowledge. I came to understand. He said, no, the Lord gave it. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the believer's profession, isn't it? That's the believer's profession. Why is it a good profession? Well, because it's given of God. The Lord's believers are made to believe, and they're made to profess. It's not in us. It's not our nature to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not in our nature. Don't kid ourselves in thinking that one of these days I'm going to confess that. No, you won't. We won't. No, the clock's ticking and it's not going to change, and our human nature is not going to change either. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. And the longer we live, the worse we become. Farther and farther we drift away from the truth of the Lord, because the truth is not in us by birth. Not according to the flesh. It has to be of the Lord. This profession must be through and by grace alone bestowed. Daniel was able to profess this. God is God and I am not. God is holy and I am not. Salvation is of the Lord. How many times we read words that are so similar to that? Did not Noah, after he got off the ark, what did he do? He worshiped God. Lord, we didn't know a flood was coming until you told us. We didn't even know we needed to build an ark until you told us to build it, and you told us exactly how to build it. You sent all the animals in, and you saved all of us from the flood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. We had no knowledge, no understanding, no wisdom. It's all of you. What about even Daniel, when he gets thrown into the lion's den, did he come out and confess to the king, yeah, I showed them lions how to, don't mess with Daniel. No, that wasn't it. Salvation's of the Lord. Did Jonah get spit out on dry land and say, yeah, I knew exactly what to do in the whale's belly. I took care of business down there. I made him sick. I knew exactly what. No, he said, out of the belly of hell have I cried. Lord, you're going to have to save me if I'm going to be saved. This is the believer's profession. This is the believer's profession. Christ is all. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. Daniel begged the Lord here, Lord, if you don't give me this dream, we're going to die. We're going to die. Give me the dream if it be thy will. And the Lord said, I will. I will. Why? Because Daniel prayed the best prayer of anybody else? No, because God put a need in his heart and faith to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Daniel cried out, the Lord heard it. He had washed it in his precious blood. He heard it. He heard it. And that's who he honors, is the Son, the precious blood of the Lamb. He honors his darling Son alone. That's who Daniel needed the most. It wasn't just a circumstantial need, was it? I mean, obviously it was circumstantial, but it wasn't just a circumstantial need. Daniel believed God. Daniel believed God. Daniel acknowledged who God is, that he's sovereign. John saw this, didn't he? When John saw the Lord, saw him as sovereign, saw him as absolute Alpha and Omega, the beginning of everything and the end of everything. If we really see him as that, it's a gift of the Lord. Men will say he's Alpha and Omega. Men will say he's the first and the last, but there has to be something in between that I have to do. Well, he's not the first and the last then, is he? No, he's the first and the last in all things pertaining to salvation, all things pertaining to life and death. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Can't be found out. That song we sung the first hour says, he which was, which is to come. He's eternal. He's forever. Can't be discovered by mortal man. He must choose to reveal himself and his truth. Otherwise, we'll remain in darkness. We'll remain in darkness. What does Daniel say here in verse 22? He revealeth the deep and secret things. Who does he reveal the deep and secret things to? Every person that he died for. Every person that he loves, he reveals the deep and secret things. What is the deep and secret thing? So many men and people and women, they get together and they try to have Bible studies to discover the deep and the secret things. I'm going to tell you the deep and secret things. The deepest secret of God is this: Christ is all, and it is finished. That is the deepest secret of God, and man cannot find it. No matter how much they read, no matter how much they study, mankind cannot come to that knowledge. It's a revelation of the Lord, all by His grace. All by His grace. Daniel goes to the king. You can imagine, if you've ever had a burden and the Lord relieved that burden, if you cried out unto Him, "Lord, save me," and you have been given the peace and the joy of the Lord in your heart, and you've seen Christ, you've worshiped Christ in the heart, you know that peace that passes all understanding. Daniel had that walking into the king. He had the right answer. God gave him that answer. Daniel was not walking into the king's presence bragging on what Daniel knew. Daniel was going into the king's presence bragging on his God. The Lord has given me the answer. The Lord has given me the interpretation of it. Now look at the king's response in verse 46. Verse 46. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. What's the king's confession? The king said, "Of a truth, yours is a God of gods and a Lord of kings." Is that a good profession? A God of gods, not the God of gods. He had some understanding that something miraculous happened because he fell down and worshiped Daniel. He had some inkling that this could not have come by any other source other than the God of Daniel, but what was his profession? Look at it again in verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. Verse 47, the king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of God and Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou couldest reveal this secret." Is that a good profession? Well, a good profession always comes through and by repentance. The only way you and I can confess that Christ is all if we've been given repentance and faith. Was Nebuchadnezzar given repentance to believe here? Called him a God of gods, a Lord of kings? I mean, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? So is he given repentance is the question. No. No. How do we know? Because the story goes on. The Lord reveals in the very next chapter, Nebuchadnezzar builds a 60-foot statue of himself and says, "Everybody's going to fall down and worship me." That's how we know Nebuchadnezzar had not been given repentance and faith. Now, by nature, you and I still want self-worship. Our flesh loves worship. But the elder shall serve the younger, the scripture says. And the new man cries out, "All honor and glory and praise unto the Lord." And the Lord causes that elder to serve the younger, the old man to serve the new man, all by grace. How can it be that this troublesome dream, dreams, plural actually it says, how could this troublesome dreams that he had, the need that he had, be given to him, and yet he decides to make a statue of himself and says, "Fall down and worship me. Fall down and worship me." Even though he acknowledged it was God that did the dream, that he couldn't, even though he acknowledged that it was the God of Daniel. How can that be? Because, brethren, like in all false religion, everything is based on what is seen. What you see and what I see with the natural eye. Today, many men are speaking about the Lord being risen, and they'll have emotional stirrings about, there'll be plays. I saw cantatas going on where they reenact the crucifixion and everything. It's all about what is seen. On the TV, they had the Passion of the Christ on repeat. I remember when that first came out back in, 2003 or something, there were people lined up to see it, people kneeling down all over the place praying. It was all by sight. Nobody was saved watching that movie. Nobody's saved by what you can see with the natural eye. Salvation's of the Lord in the heart. Salvation, worship is only in the spirit. The Lord has to give faith to believe. Nebuchadnezzar saw something amazing, didn't do him any good. Matter of fact, if the Lord had left him at that state to himself, it would have been worse for him. But he doesn't. He doesn't leave him in that state. All the emotional stirring in the world. I could get up here and I could be theatrical. I can say the right words. I can get the right response. I could, if the Lord doesn't keep us from ourselves, is what I'm saying. Men can, I've been in services before where I cry and felt really good about the service and false religion leaving, and there's nothing in the heart though. No peace, no true peace. No true understanding of who God is. No rest that it's finished. There's always something at the end that left on, a hook of some kind to drag us to do something else. Rest. If you believe on the Lord, rest, because it is finished. It is finished. There's nothing left to be done. Nothing we can do will ever change the heart. Very first time, very first sin in the garden. You remember, no one will confess Christ by nature. Our father Adam. And understand something, we have to realize the sin of Adam alone being passed on to us is enough to cause us to be guilty of eternal damnation, be it necessary for eternal judgment and justice. We don't have to do anything else. We're born after Adam, after that corrupt seed. Never mind that we are sin and everything we do is sin. But what did Adam do when he heard of that? What was the verdict that was given in the garden? You've sinned, you're going to die. And what did they do when they knew the truth? They say, have mercy upon me, the sinner. No, they sewed fig leaves together. They said, we're going to make our own covering. We're going to do something. We can fix this. We can do something to please God. I know how to crochet something beautiful. I know how to sew something beautiful. And they made garments of fig leaves. God will notice my garments. And it's still happening today in religion. Some people think their garments are prettier than the other person's garments. There's only one garment that the Lord is looking for, and it is the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness alone. If I don't have that, I have nothing. I don't have a profession of Christ. I don't know Him. I must have that garment. No, nothing we can do can ever change the heart. But the good news of the gospel is this: but God, who is rich in mercy, wherein His great love hath He loved us. What did that love accomplish? Salvation. Salvation for His people. He gives the right profession by grace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow to that 60-foot statue. They said, no, you're not our God. You're not even our king. We're not bowing to you. And he threw another temper tantrum. Like every man and woman, when they hear that their God is false, when they hear that what they believe in is not the truth, unless God gives faith and repentance, they throw a temper tantrum. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone, you tell them the gospel, this has happened to me, and they turn ugly. I mean, they turn ugly. And they say ugly things because it's an offense. You've stripped them of their righteousness. You've left them standing there naked. Literally, it's like taking the clothes off, and they're angry about it. All you're doing is telling them the truth. That's why they hated Christ. He just told them the truth. And what do? Away with this man. We shouldn't be surprised when people get angry. That's what they did to the Lord. Away with this man. Let his blood be upon us and on our children. Away with him. And that's what people will do today. Become angry. Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter. I'll show you who's God and who's not. I'll show you who's right. I'll prove it. Aren't you glad that all the power of man can't even touch the Lord? Can't even come close to touching the Lord. Can't do anything against Him. Can't do anything for Him. He is God. He has all power. Heats the furnace 7 times hotter, doesn't He? Throws them in. But a miracle happens. King says, did we not throw 3 men into the furnace? He said, behold, I see 4. And the 4th is like unto the Son of God. And he commands that they bring out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He commands them forth, come out. says the hairs were not singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. If anybody's ever been around, all of us has been around smoke in here. How quick is it? You get around smoke, it sticks to you quick, don't it? Doesn't take long. Just takes a second. But they didn't even smell like smoke. How can that be? Because this is a picture of Christ Jesus enduring the eternal wrath of God on the cross of Calvary for his people, so that the very smoke of that fire of hell never touches us. That smoke can't touch us. Why? Because he satisfied the wrath of God. He put away the sin of his people. He made us the very righteousness of God in him. You would imagine we threw three in, but I see four. Who did he see? Who did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, who he saw. Saw him with his own eyes. Looks like the Son of God. That was his confession. I see the Son of God. So what's his confession then? Look in Daniel 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom hath sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the king, against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." And the king promoted them. Well, that's true, isn't it? That's a good profession to know. There's no other God that can deliver after this sort. But was it repentance given? Was it faith given? Or was it still all by sight? The miracle he saw with his eyes, was it enough to cause him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is no. How do we know? We'll look in the next chapter. Daniel 4, verse 30. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I, me." Repentance was not given to Nebuchadnezzar. How do we know? Because everything that comes from the believer's profession about God is Christ is all. It never starts with, "I have decided to follow Jesus." You'll never hear a believer say that. A believer will never say, "I came to an altar and I gave my heart to Jesus." You'll never hear a believer say that. A believer will say, "Christ in mercy chose to die to redeem a people, chose to redeem sinners. And I know that I'm a sinner, and my hope is that he redeemed me." That's the believer's profession. Everything in false religion points to I. Everything in the truth, everything about a good profession points to the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ has not been revealed, then we would just be left to self. We'd be left to self-righteousness. We would be left to our fig leaves. Boy, they might be pretty aprons to each other, but the Lord don't see it that way. It's literally taking the place of the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's taking the place of the blood of Christ. If we have self-righteousness, that's exactly what it is. I have obligated God because look at my fig leaves. But brethren, likewise, there's those that know the truth in the mind. They know the gospel in the mind, the right words, the right doctrines. But they have not considered the object of their profession. Don't let us think for a moment that because we have some knowledge in our mind of who Jesus Christ is and the ability to say that he is Lord, that he has given us a new heart to believe him. No, the message is believe now on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have a book that we've marked that off, checked it, and closed it, and said, okay, I believed, I'm good. Believer comes begging all the time. Every day, every moment, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. It never stops. Matter of fact, we become more desperate doing it, don't we? It's true. I'm more desperate needing salvation today than I was yesterday, and we will be tomorrow until the very last breath that we take. That'll be our most desperate breath. Lord, have mercy on me. Salvation's not a knowledge. It's not based upon an experience. It's based upon a person, the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. So what is our hope? Our hope is that God makes us consider. Consider the apostle, the messenger. Who did we learn the truth from? Our hope is that God makes us consider the high priest, the only one that can be the mediator between God and man of our profession. He is the message. Now in mercy, he does something to Nebuchadnezzar that's miraculous. But it's the exact same thing that he does to every single sinner that he died for. He makes him a beast. He said, for 7 years, you're going to be an animal. You're going to be like an ox or a cow. You're going to go eat grass with the cattle. Your hair is going to grow. Your fingers are going to be like eagle claws. Your hair is going to be like eagle feathers. You're going to know that I'm God. That's what the Lord's saying. Did you know that the Lord told him that before he said, I, me, me, me? He did. Told him what was going to happen. Look in the next verse here. Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee out from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. In the same hour was this thing fulfilled. It drove him out. What is your profession? Is your profession that I am a beast? Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because nobody wants to think themselves as bad as they are. Matter of fact, if I tell you that I'm the chief of sinners, and then you tell me I'm the chief of sinners, there's going to be a difference in that, isn't there? If I say to you, I'm the chief of sinners, I'm really bad, and you say, yes, you really are, my pride's going to rile up, isn't it? Think about that. You start pointing fingers and saying, no, you're a liar. What's going to happen? Your pride's going to get in the way. Understand something. The Lord's the only one that can make us chief of sinners. He's the only one that can make us a beast. He's the only one that can cause us to cry out unto him and say, truth, Lord, I am the chief of sinners. I am a liar. I am the liar. I'm going to lie myself all the way to hell if you don't save me. I'm the beast. I'm the beast that needs the Savior. In mercy, he makes his people beasts and gives them the believer's profession, which is this. Look in verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. It was no longer Daniel's God. It was no longer Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's God. He said, I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He is able to abase. That's the believer's profession, isn't it? That's the difference from all three professions. This is the believer's profession. You are God, and I am not. It is finished, not based upon what I do, but because of what you have done. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. He's the sovereign creator of this universe. He is both Lord and Savior to his people. And just as you and I are brought to the knowledge of that, Nebuchadnezzar was brought to the knowledge of that, drawing out this confession and drawing out praise unto the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. This is a work of grace in the heart. Now, in closing, I want to turn to Romans chapter 10. Then I want to finish back in our text in Hebrews chapter 3. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, he just said, verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh this. The righteousness which is of faith. This is someone that's been given faith, and this is what faith is saying. What saith it, verse 8? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. This has already been faith given. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says, faith doesn't say, bring down the Lord from above. Dethrone him by doing your part. That's what men are saying whenever they say, you have to do your part to help him. That's dethroning him. That means he's not king. He's not seated. He didn't do it all. That's what it's saying here. He's saying, do your part, or the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ will have no effect. You have to do. It's not true. That's not true. Christ accomplished everything on the cross of Calvary. That's why his Father resurrected him. No, to do your part is to bring him down. Only the Lord's elect are made to know. Christ is the one that descended into the lowest hell and is now ascended to the highest heavens for his people, for salvation, thereby delivering his people from their sins. The only way this can be our profession truly is a heart work. As he said here, the righteousness which is of faith. Well, that's the Lord's faith, isn't it? It's the heart work. Nebuchadnezzar only confessed Jesus Christ as God when he was made to. We've seen that very clearly. He didn't confess him the first time when he saw the miraculous dream revealed. He didn't see him the second time when he literally saw Jesus Christ with his own eyes. It wasn't until God made him a beast, showed him what he was. You're nothing. You're nothing. And that's what we are. We're a bunch of zeros. But God sent the one to redeem his people from their sin, making us the righteousness of God in him, making us something, making us somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will never confess Jesus Christ just as Nebuchadnezzar unless we're made to. Now let's read our text in Hebrews chapter 3, first two verses. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. The writer is saying, consider the object of your profession. Consider the object of your profession. Don't consider an experience like Nebuchadnezzar with the dream. Don't consider an experience. Don't look at what you see. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the object of your profession. What is that object? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What is your profession? Well, who's the object of it? Who's the object of it? Am I the object of my profession? That's not a good profession. Is the Lord Jesus Christ the object of my profession? If it is, if he is, that's because it's grace has been given and faith to believe. Understand, I'm not asking what you've seen. I'm not asking what you know. Well, that Ethiopian eunuch didn't know much, did he? Didn't know much. He said, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? After he told him the truth of what he was reading in Isaiah 53, Ethiopian eunuch, Philip walked up and said to him, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I unless a man tells me? He told him the gospel from Isaiah 53. And when they were done speaking, he said, well, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? He wanted to confess that. He wanted to confess Christ. Didn't know a whole lot, but he knew Christ was God and that he was the successful redeemer of his people. That's what he knew. I'm not asking what you know, I'm asking who. I'm not asking what you believe to be true, I'm asking what is your profession, who is your confession. The Lord put it this way, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Is he both Lord and Christ to you? If he is, confess him. If he is, believe on him. If he is, it's because a heart of faith has been bestowed. We confess with Nebuchadnezzar, he doeth whatsoever he wills, and who can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He's God. Confess. The sinner, that's all a sinner can do is confess. Did you know that? That's all we can do. Confess. Scripture says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are the sinner, and he is the only Savior of sinners. He alone is the one that put away the sin of his people. This is the believer's profession. Christ is all. Christ is all, the successful redeemer of his people. I love that we have absolute confidence that Nebuchadnezzar's a brother. Lord, don't humble a man like that unless he's saving him. Lord would have left Nebuchadnezzar to himself. That we have confidence. The Lord will humble you and I if we're his, and we'll have the same profession. Christ is all. Let's pray. Father, calls us to believe, calls us to see, calls us to know. Lord, we so often in this world look for things and so often doubt and are full of fears. But Lord, we have a hiding place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Calls us to flee to him more and more and give us this profession. Christ is all. In his name.